Mark. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Ray Hanania, and this is Talk of the Town Radio, broadcast live on YahalaVoice.com radio and on 1450 AM radio. It's Friday, January 16th. Normally, I tell you, our producer is Khalid Khilfa, and if you want to call in during the show, we, of course, welcome your comments, and to share your opinion, we want to hear it. Our telephone call-in line is 708-321-1313, but today, the show is pre-taped, so we won't be able to take phone calls during the show. Talk of the Town is brought to you by LifeRun Medical Alert Systems, the best emergency system for seniors and people in healthcare need today at 1-800-421-3366. Broadcast live on radio at 1450 AM and online at YahalaVoice.com every Friday at 4 p.m. Talk of the Town Radio is rebroadcast every Monday at 11 a.m. and it is available in podcast form at iTunes and off our news website, theherbdailynews.com, where you can read my syndicated columns at Creator Syndicate. I also write on Chicagoland and Illinois issues for several newspapers, including the Des Plaines Valley News, the Southwest News Herald, the Regional News, and the Payless Reporter newspapers. Check those columns out. Right now, I want to introduce our first guest. Alexandra Hallaby is the North American spokesperson at a very important and the media liaison for a very important organization called the International Middle East Media Center. Their website is imemc.org. And as Alexandra will point out, it's kind of like the wire service for Palestinian and Middle East news stories that you often don't see in the mainstream media. Alexandra, welcome to Talk of the Town Radio.
Thank you for having me, Ray.
Now, let's talk about the International Middle East Media Center first. I kind of defined it the way you did, that it's a wire service. Where does it get its stories?
Well, the International Middle East Media Center, which is also known as IMEMC, sources material from a number of contacts in the West Bank. We have a number of journalists who are under the employ of IMEMC who live in Gaza, who live in the West Bank, who live in Israel. And so a large majority of our stories come directly from our journalists.
So it's original content and original news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a mix of original content, and also a lot of times we pick up stories from some of the other organizations, news organizations that print and publish news from Palestine in English for an English language audience.
And what makes it unique?
Well, being a joint Palestinian international organization, the International Middle East Media Center combines Palestinian journalists, like I was telling you about, along with their very deep understanding of the context of which they're writing about, the history, the socio-political environment that they live in every single day, along with international journalists. Then we have a lot of English-speaking journalists who live and work in Palestine, from Ireland, from the UK, from the United States, from Australia. And so together, putting those local Palestinian journalists and the international English-speaking and writing journalists together, really comes together to provide fair and comprehensive coverage of the events and developments as they take place in Israel and in the state of Palestine.
Do you tend to agree that the mainstream media really doesn't cover Palestine and the Middle East conflict fairly?
Well, I do, to some extent, believe that, particularly the cable news outlets that are running 24-hour news stories. Of course, Al Jazeera America does more coverage of the Palestinian crisis than some of the others. But, yeah, I would agree with that. And, Ray, furthermore, to that point, that is part of the reason why the governing body or the organization that runs IMEMC, which is the People's Center for or the People's Center for Rapprochement, which is the main governing body, and that's located in Beit Zohar, which is a suburb of Bethlehem. The IMEMC is also headquartered in Bethlehem. Part of my appointment as the North American spokesperson and media liaison is to be able to send out press releases, to speak with media organizations, to advise media organizations on best practices on how to report on the Palestinians, because the Israeli narrative has been for the past 50 years the only narrative. It's the only story that the American media has covered,
right?
With the exception of a few sources like Amy Goodman at Democracy Now! and Al Jazeera. So what we're doing right now is we are using our ability as an English language news organization to expand into the United States and to help tell the Palestinian narrative in a fair and balanced way.
Yeah, and you know what I notice about coverage, and obviously I've been a journalist for a long time, and although I used to cover Chicago politics for 20 years, the last 20 years have been focused on Middle East issues, and I happen to be Palestinian myself. I've noticed that it's not just a media bias, and I, of course, my opinion is there's a huge media bias in this country, but it's also that the Israelis develop a very detailed, not just narrative, but factual context for their narrative and their views. In other words, when something happens in Israel, we hear their story. It's not just that they get, you know, showcased, it's that they provide the information. And for many years, no one in the Palestine or the Middle East was really presenting Palestinian information in a manner that kind of melded or meshed with what journalism expects and what the public expects from journalism. Your site, the International Middle East Media Center, is one of the few that I really go to that I think gets it. You know, this whole idea of being a wire service is so important because you're reporting on facts, making them available. A lot of the stuff that's there isn't opinion. It's just factual reporting, and we don't have a lot of that. How much of it is, you know, focused on, for example, telling the story about the Palestinian kid who was killed in the Negev this week, or the Palestinian kid who I think was killed near Bethlehem? You know, we don't see those stories anyplace else except on your website.
Right. Well, you know, and it's a sad fact of the corporate media complex that runs things, not just here in the United States, but around the world, really. Palestinians are killed every day. Just about. Their
right.
Palestinian children are killed every day. The illegal settlers who have colonized areas of the West Bank regularly target Palestinian citizens, civilians, children, particularly I'm thinking of Inas Shelchet, the young schoolgirl, I think 5 years old, who was run over back in October by a settler. Of course, there is no response from the Israeli police. There's no justice for little Inas.
That happened at the same time that a Palestinian ran over an Israeli kid, and that got tremendous news coverage.
It did.
And the only reason the Palestinian girl seemed to get coverage was that there was a outrage in our community. Wait a minute, why are you covering one but not the other? But I suspect sometimes that we still, as you know, Arabs, we don't really get the power of media in a proactive way. We see it as a negative against us, but we still don't understand how powerful the media is to use, you know, just to report the facts, even without opinion.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. During the time that little Inas Shokat was run over and killed by the illegal Israeli settler in the West Bank, at that time, in full disclosure, I was serving as Goodwill Ambassador of UNRWA to the United States. So I was unable to really get into my own thought about that situation, simply because, once again, full disclosure, I had already received a congressional complaint against me for a tweet that I made about Bashar Assad on my Twitter account.
Right, but in other words, you were working for an organization that's quote unquote supposed to be neutral. If you were to say something, it would put you under a lot of, you know, pressure.
And it did.
And that's unfair because
that's where the congressional complaint came from.
Right.
Was whenever I, as you probably and your listeners are aware, and if not, I will explain.
Sure.
There is a Palestinian refugee camp run by UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency in the Near East, and it's located in Yarmouk, in Syria.
Right.
The Assad regime had cut off water supplies to Yarmouk and had also essentially stopped allowing humanitarian relief, food, medicine, things like that, to come in for months. So people were starving to death. These are Palestinian refugees, were starving to death. They were dying of dehydration. And so I made a tweet in my official capacity, which OCHA had already released a report, a document about that, but my tweet seemed to have caused trouble because, as I later found out, the United States has a the United States has a classified relationship with Assad at this point and at that point. So I was censured and thus decided that it would be best for me and for UNRWA, because I respect the organization so very much. They've done such a wonderful job, in my opinion. But I thought it was better for me to move on. Having a background in journalism, I was happy to join the International Middle East Media Center.
You're going to be able to do more at the International Middle East Media Center, because there you're encouraged to not just, you know, express opinions about things that are happening, but also to project and deliver stories that don't get covered. The Yarmouk situation, I've read some coverage of it, but it still doesn't get the first person reporting that it deserves. In other words, it's very hard overall to get first person good journalism from the Middle East, let alone from the Middle East, and then to get first person good journalism, you know, written about these events in Syria and in, you know, Palestine. It seems like we're at a little disadvantage, you know, at that, you know, in my opinion. I mean, that's why I was so encouraged when I discovered, you know, the International Middle East Media Center. It was probably one of the first times where I found a place that aggregates stories, you know, of original, you know, coverage from many different sources and makes it available. And I use it often, and I think others should do that too. And just to remind them, the website is imemc.org. By the way, we are talking with Alexandra Hallaby, who is the North American spokesperson and media liaison for the International Middle East Media Center. Do you have a sense of why we don't report as much, or are we? I mean, forget about opinion columns, just news and features. You know, for example, a profile of you. If you were Israeli and you were appointed to head a new media center in Israel, you'd mm-hmm. be profiled. There'd be somebody writing a story about your background. They'd somebody that would interview you to find out, you know, like we're doing right now, you know, who are you and where you're from. They kind of personalize you, you know, to people. So then when they hear you, you know, they go, oh, yeah, I'm familiar with her. There's a trust level. So when you deliver stuff, but we don't tend to do that enough in the Arab community.
We don't. And I will be, because really the 1st of January, even though I've been working with Saeed Bunura, who is the editor of IMEMC, I've been working very closely with him for a while, but we really officially kicked off my my new gig here at the first of the year. But I will be working with the Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee with Samia Khalif.
He's the new president, correct?
The president, yeah.
Yeah, I think there are only a couple organizations in this country that really understand PR, and ADC and CARE are probably the two that understand how to write a press release and deliver facts. And, you know, just for the listeners, as they probably know, I served on ADC for a number, since its beginning in the 1980s as a Chicago chapter activist. But I got in a little trouble when I was on the national board. Some of the members didn't like me because of my viewpoints and stuff like that. Why they wouldn't like me, I don't understand, Alexander. So don't.
I don't understand that either, because I've been a fan of your work and reading your for years.
And of course, I'm joking, but you know the irony is we tend, as a community, sometimes we don't focus on the news; we focus on the emotion. You know, they look at me, they get mad at me, instead of looking at the bigger picture and saying, "Wait a minute, you know, we have a discrimination problem in this country. We need to focus our efforts there." We don't do that, but that's why I think, you know, what you are going to be doing, what you've just started doing, and I'm so happy to you know, hear that you're going to be doing that. We do have a few more minutes, and I wonder, you want to share some of your background or thoughts on other issues or ways people can help you or help the IMEMC, you know, achieve their objectives, and Saeed Bunura to get his work done? You know, what can we do? But tell us a little bit about, you know, yourself, if you want, and, you know, why are you involved? You sound a little more American, which I think is great.
Yeah, I'm a Palestinian.
Yes. Tell us.
Your listeners will say, oh, what horrible accent. But
No, but that's what we need when dealing with Americans. You sound American.
Well, I'm born and raised in the United States. Now, first of all, I want to let you know that I was sent a classified copy of the Hasbara handbook. I received it in PDF and I printed it out. It's 150 pages. This is the handbook that Frank Luntz and his PR organization assembled for the Israelis, for the Hasbaristas to use in order to make a friendly face.
And define for some listeners whom they may have heard of Hasbara, but tell them what that is.
Well, the Hasbara is essentially a Hasbara is the name for information in Hebrew. But in English, it also translates to propaganda.
Right.
The Hasbara handbook that was assembled by Frank Luntz and his company. And Frank Luntz was a former PR guy for the GOP when Michael Steele was the president of the GOP. But the Hasbara handbook is, it says here, this publication is sponsored by the Education Department of the Jewish Agency for Israel and the Joint Distribution Committee. Essentially, college students in Israel have to, just like every Israeli is forced to join the military, college students also have to take part in Hasbara activities. They're called Hasbaristas, and what they do is they create puppet accounts on Twitter and Facebook, they go in and you'll see them if you're active.
It's kind of like, I was going to say, it's kind of like guerrilla PR disruption.
It is.
Disruption, where they plant information and they attack, and the idea is not to disrupt Israel's flow of information, but to disrupt Palestinian information. Correct?
Right. And in the handbook, I mean, it goes as far as the 7 basic propaganda devices on page 22, communication styles, point scoring and genuine debate. It gets into rebuttals. There is an entire chapter that's like 30 pages long of rebuttals to everything that, you know, anybody could say, like, well, why were over 500 children killed in Gaza?
Right.
There's a rebuttal for that.
They provide answers so that Israelis who want to respond to the truth from Palestinians will have something that might be acceptable to the audience. They're not interested in just convincing Israelis that they're right. This is Hasbara's part of an effort to ensure that Americans, the neutral quote unquote audience out there, continues to stay aligned with Israel. And one way they're going to do that is by protecting this belief that what Israel is doing is right, when in fact, in many cases, it's wrong.
Right, and what I'm doing, along with my associate from Whittier College, Ahmed Rashi, and my associate in Saudi Arabia, Dr. Khalid Al-Maniyah, who's the founder and the former editor and publisher for many years of Gulf News.
Yeah, good friend of mine.
Yeah, Dr. Al-Maniyah is really an important person in my life right now. What we're doing is we're working on the Palestinian Information and Engagement Initiative, which is not like the Hasbara. It is basically engaging people with the truth about what's going on in Palestine and making it easier for Palestinian supporters who use social media to have rebuttals also. I mean, this is what we've learned. There was a man from the New York Times, I forget his name, I think Roger Cohen, who asked me during the summer attack on Gaza, he asked me, you know, why have the Palestinians not gotten their stuff together and have created, you know, responses to the Hasbaris? But Jim Clancy from CNN also asked the same question, and that's what kind of was the impetus for us to get together and to form an actual document that we can get into the hands of every supporter of Palestine and every person who stands in solidarity with the Palestinian people. I know we're running short on time. I just wanted to mention that headlines from today's IMEMC, 36 prisoners were issued administrative detention orders. Just so your listeners are familiar, the administrative detention basically allows Israel to detain Palestinians without charge or trial for a period supposedly of 6 months, but it's usually renewed. So it comes up, you know, every 6 months it comes up. There are some who have been under administrative detention since 1979. You know, a lot of Americans don't understand that almost every single Palestinian family has a family member who's in jail for various reasons. For what, you know? And also, another headline today in IMEMC was that settlers have uprooted farmlands near Bethlehem. This happens on a regular basis. There were 600 olive trees that were uprooted recently. And that's very symbolic to me because the olive is the essence of the Palestinian people. It takes 15 years for an olive tree to produce fruit. So whenever the illegal Israeli settlers who are predominantly American, whenever they go into Palestinian farms in the West Bank and they destroy these olive trees, that's setting families back 15 years. And it happens on a regular basis. And can you imagine uprooting 500?
No, that's a lot.
And we have pictures of that on the IMEMC website. Speaking of IMEMC, I just want to let you know that the International Middle East Media Center is an independent news organization run by Palestinians. There are some other English language news organizations that produce news out of Palestine, and they have decided to take money from USA. In doing so, and their websites are very robust, they're very beautiful.
Right.
You know, if you go to IFEMC.org, ours is bare bones because we don't have funding from USA.
Right.
Because we prefer to remain independent. Once we would accept money from USA, then we would be, everything we did would be monitored. We would, you know, have, you know, to deal with that. So we prefer to remain independent. If listeners would like to, because we're completely, run on donations. So if visitors would like to, they're welcome to go to, imemc.org/donate. It's a tax deductible donation from people in the United States. People from anywhere else in the world can donate through Swiss bank accounts. And all of the money goes to support IMEMC, which, you know, has really desperate for funds right now. In fact, I'm going to be making a trip to Saudi Arabia to lecture about this new program that I was telling you about, the Palestinian Information and Engagement Initiative. While I'm there, I'm also going to speak with the Saudis about making donations to IMEMC.
I think that's a good thing, and before I let you go, I just want to ask you, write about that Hasbara manual mm-hmm. that you have. I'd love to see stories on it. I'd love to see the manual. I think that getting it out is so important because I really think that this battle that we have is about getting the truth out and getting information out and doing it in a way that's effective. And it sounds like you're one of the people that can really help us, you know, get that story out to people. So I really want to thank you, and I encourage my listeners to Talk of the Town Radio to go to the International Middle East Media Center website at imemc.org. Right at the top left, you'll see a button that says Donate. You can click that, and as my guest Alexandra Hallaby points out, it is tax deductible, correct? Is that what you said, or a charitable donation?
Yeah. If there's an address where a donor can send a check or a money order or something
cool.
to this particular address, and in the memo note on the check, just write IMEMC, because it goes through our partner here in the U.S. called If Americans Only Knew or
right.
If Americans Knew.
Great organization.
Right. We're actually writing their EIC. I think is the number.
Right.
We're riding along with their EIC.
Right, and that's not uncommon. That's pretty common.
No, it's not uncommon at all.
Cool.
It's not illegal. There's not. It's just. So, any American that wants to donate can certainly also, if they're not worried about, you know, tax deduction, they can certainly make a donation directly through the website. It's secure.
Cool.
It's called Click and Pledge, and that goes directly into. The IMEMC bank account. And then anybody in the world, in London, in Ormallah, in Amman, anywhere in the world, can also, there's other information on how they can make donations through Swift bank account.
Cool. All right. Alexandra Hallaby, my guest. She's a North American spokesperson and media liaison for the International Middle East Media Center. Alexandra, I look forward to working with you and talking with you more. I think what you do is so important, and I definitely want to do what I can to help you out. So let's make sure we stay in touch. You're listening to Talk of the Town Radio. I'm Ray Hanania here at 1450 AM Radio and live online at yalavoice.com. We're going to take a break for our sponsors. When we come back, we'll continue with some more interviews that we have. Thanks very much.